If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me, as always, is Diz.
Oh, Patty, feeling good. Masters week. I'm pretty juiced.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, big betting week. We are now live on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you just search for Sports Betting by Dummies, you should be able to find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at SportsBetByDumb. On there, we will post our best bets of the night along with the Hail Mary parlay of the day. So we're going to jump right into this. All right. Masters talk. Masters preview. We got the Masters coming up starting tomorrow. I'm not much of a golf bettor. Never really have been. But first major of the year, most of these majors we will be talking about. And so what is needed to win at Augusta National? In my eyes, you need to have a good short game. So you need to be able to putt and you need to be able to hit greens and regulation. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Gotta hit bombs.
See, Diz disagrees, and that's
the thing. I disagree with you.
That's the thing. Everyone has a different philosophy on what will get you the win, and that's what makes golf so crazy hard to bet on, and usually you can find pretty good odds on just about anyone to win a tournament, especially a major like this. And so, one little tidbit, and I kind of got this from listening to the Hammer Don podcast. Appreciate those guys. But you're more than likely going to have more than one bet on these. So what you need to do is you need to pull back on the amount that you bet on each one of these bets. Normally, I do $1 as one unit for me. On most of these bets, I'm looking at half a unit or less on most of these. So just a heads up, you don't want to spend all of your bankroll on these long shot, bets. So don't go spend all your money in one place.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
That's right.
But I will say, to cut you off, bombs is the key at Augusta National. I have to defend myself. Augusta, there are so many shelves and layers on these greens, and the pins are tucked. It's the hardest tournament in professional golf. And so when you drive the ball far, you have a shorter distance into the green, duh, obviously. But when you can hit the ball higher, you can attack those pins, and the guys who hit the ball furthest actually birdie the most holes. Obviously, you have to putt well. Obviously, your short game has to go well. But Augusta is one of the only courses where the further you drive the ball, the lower your score. That's statistically proven at Augusta National. So I'm looking at a lot of big hitters this week, Patty.
All right, so let's jump into it then. Winners to bet on. I assume if you're going big hitters, you're feeling Bryson DeChambeau.
I am not. Now let me defend myself.
I was going to say, you just said driving the ball. Okay. He's looking at driving the ball like 400 yards.
Yes, that's correct. You have driving the ball far as an advantage. But you have to drive the ball accurately. Last year, he was one stroke away from missing the cut. And I just really don't like Bryson. I don't want to bet on someone I don't like. When I'm going outright bets for the Masters, I'm looking at value. Even if I think Dustin Johnson is going to repeat, I will make that said. I think DJ is number one. But he has the lowest, he has the best odds. Like 8-1 isn't good value for someone to win a golf tournament. So I'm looking at value, Patty. What do you look at?
Well, so here's the thing. Again, I don't usually bet golf, but I went all the way from like who I think's going to win, so some pretty low value guys, and then I have some good value on finishing spots, and then I also have sleeper picks that you maybe sprinkle like 10 cents on. So
yeah, I feel that.
The winners, the people that I really like to bet on, who I think have a good chance of winning this, Justin Thomas. I've heard his name come up quite a bit. He's very good young golfer. I don't know that he's ever won a major. See, I don't know.
Yeah, enough. He has. He's won PGA.
Okay. Well, he's definitely never won at Augusta. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, I think he's due. I'm seeing Justin Thomas at plus 1100. So that's
11 to 1. That's right.
So I like those odds there. Another person I had on here is John Rahm. He's at 12 to 1 odds, and Hammer Don kind of mentioned this, but he just had a kid, so he's got a little bit of swagger going on. So just purely off that fact, I'd like to sprinkle a little bit on John Rahm there.
Yeah, I'm looking the other way. The guy's tired. He's been up all night. He's changing diapers. I like where your head's at, but man, he's got to be exhausted. He's got to be exhausted, and he hasn't played in a while because he's been on dad duty. Augusta's not the first course you want to play after a break. So I'm fading John Rahm, but I respect your take. The guy can play. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins.
I was going to say, it could go either way, right? He could be on a whole nother level because he has a kid now, or he could be like not even make the cut if, you know, it goes that way. So, and then, so finishing spot. So this is where I did a lot more of my research. Paul Casey to finish top 10 at plus 240. The dude's a top 10 finishing machine, especially when it comes to the majors. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think it's almost a guarantee at this point that he'll finish top 10. So getting plus money on that is pretty fantastic.
Love it. I agree with you.
Next one, I have Adam Scott to finish top 20 at plus 190. He hasn't missed a cut at Augusta National since 2009, and he has 7 top 20 finishes, including his win in 2013. So I love Adam Scott top 20.
I like that too. And the cool thing about that one is, like you said, he hasn't missed a cut. So there's a good chance he's playing on the weekend, and you're going to be rooting for him to be top 20. That's almost one where, you know, even if he's not in contention, you can root for that and you can watch for that on Sunday. I love that pick.
The next one I have is Webb Simpson, top 20 at plus 125. A little worse odds there, but he has finished top 20 in his last 3 Masters. I predict him to stay on his hot streak.
I'm certainly okay with that. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, this one, I hate to do this. And Diz says all the time, do not bet the under, because you don't want to root. You want to root for people, not against people, right? I think a pretty good bet is Brooks Koepka to miss the cut at plus 245.
That hurts me. Brooks.
I know. Big fan makes of me Brooks. Feel bad.
And he's got a comeback story, man. Everyone's doubting him. This is the tournament where he's in contention. He doesn't miss the cut. No way. He's got too many haters. If you know how Brooks is, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to shit the bed this week. I think he's going to pop off. But I do get why you're saying that, but it's a very public take, and I know you like to fade the public, Patty.
I usually do, but in this case, so he dislocated his knee on March 16th, and it required surgery. He hasn't played a full round of golf since then. And I saw an article that said, like, he was playing 4 holes of golf, like, yesterday or something. I think he's coming back too soon. I think he's trying to rush into it. He thinks he can win. Most people are their own worst enemy. They try to rush back after an injury. I'm not sure he will even make it through round 1. And I think even if he does, like, I think we've seen Tiger do this before, you know, with his health injuries and health issues and stuff like that.
He won a U.S. Open.
Yeah, he did. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking it's going to be a long couple of rounds. Even if he does play both rounds, I don't know that he will play well. So I hate to do it, but Brooks Koepka to miss the cut at plus 245.
Hurts my soul.
I know it. So now here's the long shot bets, all right? Long shots to win this. So Paul Casey, I just mentioned him. He's usually a top 10 finisher in the top 10 finisher at the majors. You know, I'd argue he's due for a win here. You can get Paul Casey at 35-1 odds. Adam Scott, again, he doesn't miss the cut at Augusta. 49-1 odds there. Webb Simpson, I think Webb Simpson might be the one that I'm thinking will win this whole thing if I had to pick just one. He's at 39-1 odds. I've heard this name tossed out there. Jason Day. Do you want to guess, Diz, what odds you can get of Jason Day to win this thing?
I'm a big J Day guy. Is it 100-1?
No, that's extreme. It's 60-1 odds, but
okay,
still.
Okay.
Plus 6,000 for J Day. I mean, that's
pretty good value.
Yeah, pretty good value. And I've got a few other names here, but you know, we're just hitting the highlights. Diz, give me two people you think could win this thing, and then give me two sleeper picks.
Okay. I really like Rory, and I really like his value. Okay, he's struggled a lot recently, but everyone sees that he hasn't won at Augusta National, and they haven't seen how dominant he's actually been. Last year, posted a 75 first round, and then had the lowest final 54-hole score of anyone in the field, even Dustin Johnson, who had a record-breaking score at Augusta last year. So Rory is dominant at Augusta. I know he's never won it, but he's been top 10 in 6 of last 7 Masters tournaments. So, like, even if he does lose in a heartbreak like he has before, I see him in contention on Sunday. That's not an abnormal thing. We've seen it a bunch. I love Rory's value at 19-1. That's almost absurd to me. So Rory is my favorite pick. You could argue him as a sleeper, but I'm just sticking with him as one of my top two. I love that value.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I'm really loving Xander Schauffele at 20-1. Once again, I think it's just an incredible golfer. 20-1 is insane to me. So I like Xander and Rory. Rory's obviously my favorite.
Right.
And then two sleepers for me. You might say Colin Morikawa isn't a sleeper because he's fourth in the world golf ranking, but he's getting shit on in the sports books. He's 29-1. The fourth best golfer in the world has 29-1 odds. And a lot of people are saying that since his first time Masters performance was in November, he's going to struggle because the course is so much faster. But I really think 29-1 is insane odds for the fourth best golfer in the world. That is absolutely nuts to me. So I'm considering Morikawa as a sleeper at 29-1. And then my last sleeper, Matthew Fitzpatrick. He is 35-1. He was top 10 at the Players. He was top 10 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And he was tied for 5th at Riviera. And he's made 5 straight cuts at Augusta National, all the way back to 2016. So this guy can play. He loves Augusta National. I could definitely see him being top 10. 35-1 is great value. Those are my two sleepers, Patty.
I love it. And I actually had Morikawa on one of my winners to look out for, so I'm definitely with you there. And honestly, the crazy thing about golf and the crazy thing about Augusta National, we both listed off probably, you know, 15 to 20 names between us. And honestly, I could see any one of them winning.
I would take the field. There's guys we didn't name.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, literally anyone can win this thing. And it's so crazy.
That's why, that's why outright betting is kind of a trap. And I know you touched on some props, but my favorite bet of this entire tournament, and I apologize if you were going to get there, but my best bet, my solo best bet of this entire podcast, of this entire April Masters weekend, Bernhard Langer is plus 110 to make the cut. That is absurd to me. The guy absolutely dominates at Augusta. He's won the tournament twice. And of his 30, 38. That's correct. He's old as shit. 38 Masters appearances. He's made the cut 27 times, which is pretty good. And what's even more insane is cut the last 3 years. I don't know why he's plus odds to make the cut. That's absurd to me. And I love rooting for him. I always see him at the top of the leaderboard on Thursday. And I'm like, how the hell is this 70-year-old man at the top of the leaderboard? I'm not going to fight it. Bernard Langer, plus 110.
Alrighty then. So I will put that in as your best bet for the night.
Sir.
And I guess by the time we're recording on Friday, we'll probably have a good idea if that's going to hit or not. But we might retouch that again on Friday.
Because he'll be tied for first. He balls out on Thursday.
Okay. All right. Well, also, let's slow your...
I'm interrupting you, but I need a quick F in the chat for my boy Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman came in second place at the Valero Texas Open and really had a great final round and was chasing down Jordan Spieth for a while. If he would have won that tournament, he would have qualified for the Masters. He's one of those guys for me that I love taking in all my pools and auction drafts and what have you for this Masters week, because he always goes low on Thursday and he makes the cut. He's super fun to watch. So big F's in the chat for Charlie Hoffman. This might be a hot take, but I think if Charlie Hoffman comes back and beats Spieth in that final round, I think Spieth has a better chance of winning the Masters this week. I think a lot of people are riding high on Spieth because he won last week. You know, I might take Spieth if he loses last week. So F's in the chat to Charlie Hoffman. Fucking love that guy. I'm going to miss that guy this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Spieth. That's kind of been a buzzword around the Masters this week. You know, Spieth has been hot the past few weeks. Everyone was waiting for him to get that first win in however long, and he finally got it last week. And a lot of people are feeling him this week. I can't do it. Not good enough value.
I agree.
All right, well, that's Masters talk, you know. Hopefully that didn't bore some of you to death. There's a lot of money to be made on Masters Week. There's also a lot of money to be lost on Masters Week. So take everything with a grain of salt, and please be careful out there. So let's review best bets of Monday real quick. I went 1-2. I bet against the Mavericks on Monday, and the Mavericks made 23 threes and shot 47% from three. You can't really predict that. So I kind of got boned by the circumstance, you know, the one-off game there. And then when I made my pick that the Timberwolves, I said that the Timberwolves had their best two point guards out and they both ended up playing. So I really need to find a better site in regards to injury updates, because, you know, injuries are a big part of the NBA, late scratches, whatever. And I've just been getting demolished because of it. So 1-2 for me on Monday. Sunshine went a whopping 1-1. He took the Reds money line like he always does, and the Reds might be the hottest team in baseball.
Damn right we are, baby.
Although I will say the Reds have just finished a 3-game sweep of the Pirates. So when you play, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates, you are expected to win.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I hope you guys probably play the Pirates soon. You guys better take 2 of 3, or I'm gonna roast your ass for eternity.
We better take 3 of 3. If we don't, then, you know,
I'm gonna roast your ass for eternity.
Yeah, and it would be well deserved. And then finally, Diz, you went 1-0. You're over a hit on Monday night, so congrats on that.
Thanks, man. I'm going on a big over spree. I've not been true to myself. I'm taking unders. I'm taking puck lines. Just fuck that shit. I'm going overs. I don't have a hockey best bet of the night because I've been so dialed in on Augusta and the Masters. But all these listeners, get ready for an over spree. Life's too short to take the under. Going back to my old ways.
Hey, man, you got to be true to yourself. Once you start trying to get cute and you go away from what got you to where you got you, you know, that's when you start flirting with danger.
Right.
All right, so my best bets tonight. Like Diz said, he doesn't have anything. If Sunshine were here, he'd say the Reds money line, which the Reds already played and they already won. So we'll go ahead and give him that one. So my best bets tonight. In the NBA, we have the Nets -10.5 versus the New Orleans Pelicans. The Nets are getting KD back for the first time in months. He's arguably, you know, top two players in the NBA. So you have to expect a big bounce back for them. The Pelicans are coming off a back-to-back. They did play last night. They are 3-6 straight up and 4-5 against the spread coming off a back-to-back. The only possible hiccup or issue I see with the Nets is Jimmy Harden is not out or is not playing, who of late has been the Nets' best player and leader when KD has been out. However, the Nets were a good team before they traded for James Harden earlier in the year. So I'm sticking with the Nets minus 10.5 in the NBA versus the Pelicans.
Did you call him Jimmy Harden?
I did. You like that?
No, I absolutely hate that. Please never do that again. It's like you know him or something.
It probably will happen, so just be ready for it. Sticking with the NBA, my next best bet of the night is the Mavericks minus 11 versus the Rockets. I know I'm up in danger territory as far as Diz bets, but the Mavs are 16-11 straight up after a win, and they are 7-3 in their last 10 games, whereas the Rockets are 7-29 straight up after a loss. 3-13 against the spread as a home underdog. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games, and they've lost 5 straight. Give me the Mavericks minus 11, easy money in the NBA versus the Houston Rockets.
I haven't really been following. I know you've been fading the Rockets heavy. Have your heavy spread bets against the Rockets, have they been hitting?
Yes. Yes, they have. I don't have those exact numbers like readily available for me right now, but you know, you just ride the wave, and I'll tell you, Houston has been the easiest bet team to bet against in the NBA thus far.
If it isn't broken, don't fix it.
That's right, baby. Finally, for my last best bet of the night, again, I'm sticking in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies plus 3 versus the Atlanta Hawks. Memphis is second in the NBA, being 30-18 against the spread on the season. Both teams are playing back-to-back, so no real rest advantage there. The Hawks should have lost last night, but they went 20 of 31 from three-point range, and that is 64.5% from three last night, including 11 of 11 in the third period. That shouldn't happen. That doesn't happen. It won't happen two nights in a row. Don't expect lightning to strike twice, much less two nights in a row. And then also the Grizzlies have covered 5 straight games. So as long as Morant, as long as he plays tonight for the Grizz, I love this pick.
I didn't like that. I really didn't like what you did there.
I was hoping to get a good pop off of that, but it,
you were kind of sharp. You were kind of sharp too. That didn't help you.
Well, I can't sing. And when I try to sing, you know, it's not great. So I tried to keep it kind of, you know, reeled in a little bit, but it just didn't work out. But I still like it. Give me the Grizzlies.
I like the bet. Just don't sing anymore.
Yeah, it would probably happen because, you know, that's just what I do. But all right. Now, Hail Mary parlay of the day. Today it is $1 to win $678.17. So the first 9 picks are in the NBA, all right? So we're going to go through them. We got Timberwolves plus 3.5 versus the Pacers. We got Wizards minus 3.5 versus the Magic. We got the Nets, the 10.5 versus the Pelicans. The Knicks plus 4 versus the Celtics. The Hornets minus 5 versus the Thunder. The Mavericks minus 11 versus the Rockets. The Grizzlies plus 3 versus the Hawks. Nuggets minus 7 versus the Spurs. And finally, the Suns plus 2 versus the Jazz. And then, of course, that's only 9 picks, so I do have a 10th pick here for you, and it is coming from the MLB and a game that is currently going on, so I don't know that you'll be able to jump on it with me. But we're going Dodgers versus the Athletics. We're going Dodgers minus 1.5 versus the Athletics. And currently the game is 2-1 Dodgers, so we need the Dodgers to get one more run in that game. Win that by 1.5, and then our Hail Mary parlay of the day is off and running. Diz, do you have anything you'd like to say to the people before we wrap up the show?
Was it -1.5 when you, like, before the game started?
Correct.
Got you. The day that parlay hits, like, I don't know. We got to do something. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, can we just mutually agree, like, if you ever hit that parlay, we both have to call off work and just get absolutely nuked.
Okay, here's the thing. One, if that parlay hits, you guys will hear about it. You guys will be the first ones to hear about it. And two,
dude, I know I better be. Fuck.
Two, shout out to FanDuel and shout out Hammer Don again. But if I hit this Hail Mary parlay, they are giving me additional money on top of the money that I win on this parlay. So
that's big.
It might have to happen. If this hits one day, we might be like throwing like a Tampa Bay Buccaneers level parade party, like just making a day of it.
I would love it. You have to spend all your earnings on the party.
That'll be a rager then, bro.
Absolutely. I want dancers. I want a DJ. I want the whole thing.
Poof. Tall task. I'll start planning it now because it's going to hit tonight.
Absolutely not. But love where your head's at.
Alrighty. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Shout out to my boy TY for subscribing and giving that 5-star review. If you want to be given a shout out on the next episode, you have to do a few things for us. One, subscribe wherever you're listening. Two, give a 5-star review on that site. Three, follow our Twitter at SportsBetByDumb. And then tweet at us, screenshot proof that you did all of that, along with whatever name you want to be referred to on the next episode. And if you do all that, we'll give you a shout out. Thank you again, everybody, for listening. Good luck with your Masters bet. And we will talk to you guys on Friday.